Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's falling down the dynasty ranks? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and with me today is Kyle Yates and a special guest from RotoViz, Travis May. And today we're going to break down the biggest fallers in Dynasty as this 2021 season comes to a close. It ain't closed yet. Again, congratulations to all of you, all of our listeners and readers and our tools users who are out there still playing either consolation or championship games. But today is going to be about looking to the future. We've also got some big news potentially on two young talents who kind of fit in nicely to this show. We're going to get to that. And I'm also very excited to work with my two co-hosts today because both of them have children under 10 weeks old. So there's a combined 3 hours of sleep that they've had all week. And I'm excited to see what that's going to bring to the show. Yates, welcome back, buddy. It's good to see you after the holiday.
Absolutely. I hope that the holidays were good for you, buddy. It was a fun time to be able to get away, and but yet still at the same time, like needing to stay plugged in because we're still trying to give advice for week 16. So all of the COVID list actives and inactives, I'm trying to focus on spending time with my family. And yet at the same time, I'm being bombarded with like a ton of different information. There was one player that I didn't even know was ruled out until like Sunday afternoon, you know, just how so much information was coming at us. So, good to be back home. I was in Chicago for the holidays, so good to be back home. And of course, excited to talk to our guest here today.
Yeah, by about 9:30 on Christmas, if you sent me any sort of question after that on Christmas, I definitely had at least two Johnny Walker Blacks in me. So I'm just telling you guys, that was Christmas for me. I hope the advice was good. I tried my best. But Travis, it's good to have you back here on the show, my friend. And as you can see, the War Eagle is here and ready to rock and roll. Hopefully you had a nice holiday, but it's been a lot to keep up with, especially if you cover college as well, with all these bowl games being changed also. Some teams not playing, teams looking for replacements in bowls. It's been a wacky week in sports just altogether.
Yeah, glad to be here. And really anymore, most of what I do content-wise leans towards the college side and the NFL draft and everything like that. I love the NFL, and I'll always cover the NFL, and I will play Dynasty until I die. But, at the same time, man, there's so many things to keep track of now with the transfer portal and
The transfer portal's been hot.
It's just a changed game in the last year or two. So I love it. And Bo Nix is no longer with Auburn, so, and I'm okay with that. Tank Bigsby decided to stay, so I'm really pumped about that. But for the listeners that don't really care about that, we can move on. So,
well, I care about it. I actually had that conversation with Scott Bogman on our college football show last week about Bo Nix. And I got to tell you, like, he was that favorite son, right? You know, the legacy guy coming in. And I think, you know, I wanted to give him a pass early on because he was so young and wanted to give him time to develop. But maybe it is just better for him to go somewhere else and see what he can do and maybe pad his stats in a different conference and see if maybe that is good for his development. Sometimes, good story doesn't always work out, right?
Exactly. But Tank Bigsby, you guys will care about Tank Bigsby 2 years from now. Because he will probably be in the running back one conversation for that NFL draft. So Tank Bigsby, remember the name.
Yeah, how do you not love a guy named Tank Bigsby?
I mean, his name's Tank.
I mean, come on.
His name's real name is Cartavius.
Not as fun as Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid, when I saw that name a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry. Not his real name, but that's what everybody calls him. That's good enough for me.
Hey, it got him an NIL deal, so
there you go.
That works.
Travis May puts the die in Dynasty 2, plays Dynasty till he dies. I love that. Yates, you got to get a shirt like that, please. Oh, for the love of God.
It's a good motto.
Well, you get it. Yeah, Dynasty till I die with the DY. All right. Before we kick things off here, I want to remind everybody, too, about the Dynasty Football Podcast hosted by that guy, Kyle Yates. So obviously through December, we're still, giving you a little sample here of Dynasty content on Tuesdays, looking ahead of things. But every single week, the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast, Yates has great guests on. They start to look forward already to the 22 season. Also looking ahead to some of these college prospects, as we're just talking about now. So it's very exciting times here. So make sure if you haven't already, subscribe to the Dynasty Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. It's also on the YouTube channel as well. So if you haven't, subscribe there and click that notifications bell. It's a great show. I watch it. That's right. Believe it or not, I can't get enough Kyle Yates. I actually watch it when I'm at the gym. I like to watch the Dynasty show because I like all the guests that Yates has on, and I like Yates a little bit, so I watch that too. But also, if you listen to all of our podcasts, and I know so many of you do, because we get all the messages, I've been seeing so many Twitter things and people thanking us for great seasons, thanking us for playoff runs, championship runs right now. Please, we love to hear about it. So give us a shout out over on Apple Podcasts and leave a review of the show. Tell us how your 2022 season went, why it was an important part of your season to be involved with the Fantasy Pros Podcast. We love to spread the positivity here. So go do it. Do something nice here. It's the holiday season. Everyone's tired. It's nice to do nice things. So go out there and do a good deed and give us a nice review, a 5-star maybe. Maybe about how handsome Joe Pizzapia is with his bald head. I don't know. Whatever makes you happy, go do it. And again, give us some love and spread the love on Apple Podcasts with some reviews. We always like them this time of year. And we like to hear how you guys have done in your seasons and how certain things have helped you. So go check that out, please, and give us that review. Now, gentlemen, let's start here because yesterday we did the Waiver Wire podcast. And we are going to get into the risers and fallers. We're going to do the top 10 list here for Yates and Travis. But yesterday we got a bit of news right after the podcast wrapped about Waiver Wire, about Cam Akers, who the Rams have activated because they wanted to make sure that he was getting his pension qualification for this year, which is a classy move by the organization. But he looked really good at practice last week. And now Sean McVay is kind of alluding to the fact that he might see some work on Sunday. So, Yates, I'm going to start with you on this one. What does this do in terms of the waiver wire anticipation for Cam Akers, your ranking of him, what expectation you might have for him in Week 17, but also what does this do for his dynasty value going forward, too, that he's already back and on the field potentially in Week 17?
Yeah, I'm glad that you split that up already because I was going to say that, right? There's two aspects of this that we have to talk about. It's the Week 17 impact for the regular season this year, but then also the dynasty impact in long term. So I think as far as the waiver wire impact here with Cam Akers, I'm not really rushing out there. I don't have him as my number one running back or anything like that. The only reason that I would be adding Cam Akers is in anticipation of potentially something happening to Sony Michel as far as landing on the COVID list. And, you know, God forbid we want Sony Michel in our starting lineups here this week. But with Daryl Henderson now on IR, this opens the possibility that Cam Akers should or could see some work if something were to happen to Sony Michel. I don't expect Akers to suddenly walk back here in Week 17, his first week back off of an Achilles tear. Like, how he is back and playing up at already is just mind-blowing. So I'm not expecting him to walk back into his normal workload, right? The 29 carries that he saw against Green Bay last year, anything like that. We're not going to see that. He might see some work here or there, But if you play it up to week 18, I think that's a little bit of a different conversation where you might want to prioritize Akers a little bit more. But as far as the immediate impact here of Akers, I'm not rushing out there to add him. I don't think that he's going to see, you know, a walk right back into his workload. I think Sony Michel is still going to be the RB1. As far as the dynasty impact, how can you not like this? If you have Akers on your dynasty roster, you have to be excited for him to work his way back already. We're going to get to see what he looks like, what the as far as moving into the NFL playoffs too. We're going to get to see what the breakdown here looks like with Akers healthy, with Sony Michel, with Daryl Henderson coming back. We're going to see what the plan is for the Los Angeles Rams as far as Cam Akers moving into 2022. So if you're a dynasty manager, you have to be really happy that you're seeing Akers here back on the field. But yet at the same time, you want to exercise some caution. Don't give him a ton of work and have him re-injured.
Right. Well, he's only 5 months or so removed from that injury, too.
It's ridiculous.
Not a long time. Travis, I want to play devil's advocate and flip it for you. If you have Cam Akers in a dynasty league, this is great news in a way because he's back on the field. Is this also an opportunity because, as Yates mentioned, Sony Michel, Daryl Henderson, Sean McVay likes to get cute sometimes. Is there any way that this is your opportunity here, a couple of healthy games from Cam Akers, maybe a nice playoff performance where his value might be higher than his worth going into 2022 and he becomes a sell candidate off of this recent news?
I think running backs, especially if your team in Dynasty is not really positioned to win a championship right now, almost any running back can be a sell candidate. And somebody coming off of an Achilles injury in a backfield that looks like it's probably just going to be a committee, at least for now, that would be great, especially if, I was looking at, in preparation for the show, just looking at Fantasy Pros Dynasty ranks, and Cam Akers is still like running back 19 right now, despite just coming off of an Achilles tear, which is, wow, that's probably higher than he probably should be already. So if he has a game or two where he's actually really good again, and people, you know, remember the preseason hype video where he's with Eric Dickerson and they're like, oh, you know, it just made you think they're going to build the franchise around this guy. It's like, oh, this is our dude. And, if there's that hype again, his value may get bonkers because running backs, if you look at the top tier, like round one selections, if we love those young running backs that are 20, he's still 21, 22, I guess 22 years old. If he gets catapulted into the first round, second round conversation again, yeah, I'm going to be looking to sell just based off of that too quick of an ascension. Although, you know, down the stretch last year, he did have over 2/3 of the snaps, mm-hmm. like in the last four games of his. So, you know, maybe they do actually commit, which that would be unforeseen. It would be unbelievable, but that could be in the cards. And so I'm not looking to sell immediately, but I am paying attention to the market. I am paying attention to my league mates just to see how badly they overreact if Akers does something good.
Coming back from an injury is always the highest value any player has in a trade. And that was something I always kind of drive home to people. If you don't love a player or just kind of like him and you don't think he's going to be great, this is the time because everything is roses. Everything is potential again. And we haven't seen a full workload season from Cam Akers yet in the NFL. So to me, I think this is actually true. I do believe that the worth right now is not necessarily the same as the value. I think right now you could look and you could probably sell him for more than he's worth. And I think that's something that everybody should watch carefully and decide. I'm going to go to you first with this one. I'm going to make Yates wait for this because he cannot wait to talk about the potential of Trey Lance. So I'm going to make him wait because could you imagine championship week if Trey Lance wins people championships? Garoppolo is dealing with an injury. Let me paint this picture for you, Travis. Let's say Garoppolo can't go. Let's say Trey Lance plays really well. I know the 49ers are basically a playoff team, or at least in this conversation here. What does a good performance in this week, should Trey Lance take over, do for his dynasty value overall, and maybe even his fantasy value, you know, going forward for 2022 redraft?
Given how the rookie quarterbacks have performed this year, I mean, you don't have to do much of anything to be automatically the best or second best rookie quarterback in this class, it seems. So yeah, if he has even an okay performance, he'll look pretty good by comparison to the early draft picks alongside him. But even if he doesn't, I'm not super worried about it because he was always, like, if he was going to hit, it was always going to be an insane outlier because he was an FCS guy who played one season, took an entire year off, and his only game last year was against Central Arkansas, and it wasn't even a good one.
No.
We think we know a lot about these prospects. And for the ones that play 3, 4, 5 years, I think we know a lot more about these prospects. But when they're guys that they play entire FCS level competition. Not, I mean, it's like, I call it the fake Division I competition, and that's what it is. It's
doesn't
just
make
like,
it not funny. Even, I mean,
but you know, and he puts up bonkers numbers, like one of the most efficient passing seasons mixed in with over 1,000 rushing yards, like ever. He's enticing, and so I think he was rightly taken as early as he was, and I'm a long-term believer in Trey Lance. And so regardless of how he does this weekend, I just understand going into it, he was going to be an outlier. He was going to take some time. And I don't care that right now, like the only top three selection in the last 20 years at quarterback that has less starts I think it's less starts than him is Jamarcus Russell. So so that's not a great cohort to be alongside, because normally top three picks get at least seven starts typically, but he's not going to get there, and that's okay. Like, I'm not worried about it. His upside is ridiculous. He's got a ridiculous arm. He had one of the most efficient seasons ever, and he's in a good offense that where he should eventually succeed. I mean, if Jimmy G can even halfway succeed,
right?
Trey Lance, he has to do something. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree with it. Yates, you know how I feel about Trey Lance. I'm a big fan of the tools, and I do think patience is good. I think they could have supported him a little better at times here in this year. But you know what? This is where we're at right now. So I'm going to ask you this. Coming into the 2022 season, is this a time in Dynasty to be buying Trey Lance? Because maybe some people were a little concerned and thought he would break out, play more. Maybe they were over aggressive on Trey Lance, as Travis was saying, and just because he hasn't gotten as much exposure in this first year doesn't mean that he can't get better here. So is this an opportunity here going forward where the bloom might be slightly off the rose and you might be able to pluck that flower and put him on your roster?
The majority of Dynasty managers are like Dory from Finding Nemo. They have short-term memory loss. And so I think they really suffer from, you know, not being super patient with the Dynasty assets that they've spent significant, you know, capital to acquire and stuff like that. So with Trey Lance, I think there's an opportunity right now to be able to go and acquire him, to be able to buy low, because you spent a top three super flex rookie pick on him, right? Like it was probably Trevor Lawrence. It was probably Justin Fields, and then maybe Trey Lance the next one, or it was, you know, Lawrence and then Trey Lance and then Justin Fields. So I think the opportunity there where people are getting a little impatient, where people are not remembering the talent, not remembering the ability. I think there's a very, very short buy low window if your Dynasty League still has their trade window open. You know, the majority of Dynasty Leagues play with trade deadlines and stuff like that. So I think this is an opportunity to be able to go acquire him, because he's going up against Houston. And we saw in his first game already this year where he stepped in for Garoppolo with the matchup up against Arizona, ran the ball like 14 times, you know, like for 89 yards off the top of my head. Like he was being utilized as a runner, and he was inches away from being a top 12 fantasy quarterback. He was stopped at the goal line. So I think there's an opportunity here for Trey Lance to put up ridiculous numbers here this week against Houston. And then long term, like, I think this is really encouraging to be able to see him on the field. So that way we know what to expect heading into 2022. We might see his ADP, if he has a really good game here, looking ahead to redraft from next year, like, we might see his ADP rise way more than it probably would have if he had sat the entire season. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what Trey Lance does here this week. I think that he's going to have a really solid performance here up against Houston.
You think they'll turn the page next year, right?
Yeah.
So Trey Lance.
Yeah, I think with Jimmy Garoppolo at this point, like, he can't stay healthy. He's performed okay, but you sent three first round picks. You know, you spent a top three pick to go get this guy. And if you continue to sit Trey Lance, who sat all of last year, essentially, you know, you mentioned the Central Arkansas game, like, sat all of last year, has sat the majority of this year. Like, his issue is not development, like, upstairs. It's the fact that he needs reps. And so to be able to get this guy reps on the football field is crucial. So yeah, I think they're going to turn the page.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I'm excited for Trey Lance next year. I really am. And I think we're going to see some of those tools on display. And I think people are going to realize. And look, Jimmy Garoppolo, he still struggles with very simple things. They drop a linebacker into coverage and he gets confused. That's stuff that I teach my flag football kids, you know, about that. And they seem to be able to get a hold of it. So I don't know why he still struggles with it at times. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. Prize Picks has tons of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdown, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you have to do. It's easy. The more you pick, The more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is one of the best ways to play. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries too, so you can take the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes in the same entry, and it offers every sport you can think of. Football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe, and it offers fast withdrawals. And Prize Picks app is rated 4.8 in the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is the only way to go for daily fantasy. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy simplified. Find it in the App Store and Google Play and use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% discount deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Now that is all out of the way and it's important conversations we're having, I want to talk about the dynasty fallers. So we have 10 here from Travis May and 10 from Kyle Yates. Travis, you're our guest, so you can go first. Who is your number 10 in terms of guys from the 2021 season that are now falling in your dynasty rankings based on age, based on performance, based on everything that you've seen in this season so far? Who is number 10?
Number 10 for me, actually, I believe was Travis Kelce, which seems kind of crazy. For those that have been riding the nonstop tight end one train that Travis Kelce has given us. I mean, I don't know how many teams I've had where I've actually had, I think it's probably three or four teams I've had Travis Kelce since 2016 or 2017 for Dynasty. And it's like, is my team really good or is it just Travis Kelce? Like, I'm not sure because he's just been absurd. And this year, he's not going to actually finish on the tight end one throne. It's actually going to be Mark Andrews because of the insane last 3 or 4 weeks he's had. And, you know, shout out to him because he probably should be the new tight end one. He's only 25, 26 years old. So I don't think, and really, Kelce's already been passed by the demigod Kyle Pitts that people have already proclaimed as the next coming of whatever. And he's just been, you know, he's been good, but he's not been Travis Kelce. But I think if when you look at historic tight end usage, even among the greats, like even the best tight ends of all time, like Tony Gonzalez, who has more receiving yards than anyone ever, like once he got past age 32, which is what I am and what Travis Kelce is, things start to change a little bit. They're not as fast. Their efficiency drops immensely. Like even among the greatest tight ends of all time, Antonio Gates included, like they hit this wall around age 32. Targets drop, efficiency drops, and so if the price stays where it is, I'm just completely moving off of him immediately because it's not going to get better from here. Like, sorry, Travis Kelce, you're not Tom Brady. So I think this offseason, as people kind of take a closer look at what just happened, they're going to be like, oh, Kittle's still a good 4 years younger. Going to move him ahead. Already have Pitts ahead of him. I'm definitely going to move Mark Andrews ahead of him. You know, he's going to start to drop. And I would rather get ahead of that by a year before he actually does see the efficiency completely fall off and move off of him anywhere that I have him, really.
Yeah, some great points there with Kelce, and I could not agree more on all of them. Kyle Yates, your number 10 in terms of guys that are falling down your dynasty ranks this year.
I will stay at the tight end position here. I will go with someone who you think of my name and who I recommend. Jonnu Smith comes to the top of the list. So I'll go with Jonnu here as someone who has taken a tumble down dynasty rankings. When he signed that massive contract in free agency, we thought, all right, here we go. Top 10 tight end. It looks like for the foreseeable future, we've got a locked and loaded fantasy asset. And then the next day they signed Hunter Henry and it kind of comes crashing down just a little bit, but still someone that we thought was going to have fantasy value this year. I was obviously a lot higher than a lot of other people buying into what he could be utilized as in this offense. And that just hasn't happened this year. We've seen that he's stayed in to block primarily. We've seen Hunter Henry become the primary receiving option here. And in an offense where Mac Jones is going to feature the guy who's open, he's not going to simply lock onto one receiving option. It's hard for Jonnu Smith to see the target. So moving forward, I think that this offseason they're going to go back to the drawing board and say, how can we get more creative? How can we get Jonnu Smith more involved? But that's not going to lead to top 12 production, you know, at the tight end position. He'll have games where he can be reliable, but I just don't see that this is going to be a situation where Jonnu Smith, you know, is as high in the dynasty rankings as we thought he was when he signed that contract. So definitely someone that took a tumble down my dynasty rankings.
Yeah, mine as well. And I got to tell you, man, it's been a very disappointing season for Jonnu. I was definitely riding that train with you. unfortunately, it got off at the station right before the season started, it feels like, and we never got there. And it's a shame because you see glimpses at times in certain games, but it's clearly not going to be the case. And Hunter Henry's been a touchdown machine for the Patriots this year. So let's move on to number nine on your list, Travis. Who is a dynasty faller for you, number nine?
So this was a weird one, and I tried to pick a few names that weren't super obvious, especially with the back end of my list here. But I'm actually going to go with Chase Claypool, because if we actually are honest with ourselves, he's living off the hype of like one game from week five of his rookie season. Like, seriously, he's basically done almost nothing good since then. How many wide receiver one games in PPR do you think Chase Claypool has in 30 career games?
Three.
He has two wide receiver one games. And, you know, he's ranked by most people everywhere as a top 24 wide receiver. Some people I see him rank near the top 12. And I'm like, man, that's aggressive. Like, I know he's young, but man, I'd rather have a bunch of the rookies from this class actually over him. I'd rather have other guys in his class over him. He's been an inefficient wide receiver. He had basically one good game last year and one good game this year. And he's got a quarterback that is about to fall off. Well, he actually fell off the edge cliff like 4 years ago. But he's about to lose that quarterback.
No one's told him, though.
Somebody needs to tell him. His family.
Somebody should. I'm waiting, but nobody seems to.
Ben, please. Please do us a favor. And so the future is a little bit uncertain. And he's not even the wide receiver one on his own team, because that's Deontay Johnson. And I don't know what's going to happen with Juju. He went to IR. He was on like a one-year deal. He probably leaves anyway. But if he doesn't, well, then okay. Then again, the ceiling is even lower for Chase Claypool. So he's just being overvalued to me.
I couldn't agree more, not to mention he's also got some, you know, maturity issues that, you know, those things creep up, you know, in the worst times. And it does affect your fantasy bottom line, because it affects playing time, it affects snap count sometimes when guys are in the doghouse. It affects their ability sometimes in the respect that they have in the locker room with their other players and how much you want to put on this guy. And I think there's also a collective thing, Travis, this year when Juju went down, people felt, okay, here we go, Chase Claypool. It hasn't happened. So if it hasn't happened now with Ben Roethlisberger, a veteran quarterback, although underwhelming, then maybe it's time to really, like you said, kind of be more realistic in your rankings of him. Kyle, who's your number nine on the wide receiver, or excuse me, not wide receiver rankings. Who's your number nine in the dynasty fallers? Maybe it is a wide receiver. I don't know.
It is a wide receiver.
Oh my goodness.
All right. We planned it out. It is a wide receiver. I'm going to go with a guy who I was extremely excited about coming into 2021 with Ryan Fitzpatrick finally as his quarterback here. I thought that Terry McLaurin was going to have just a stellar campaign. And even as without Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's just been fantastic over the past several years, where we could look at the quarterbacks that he's been playing with and say, how is he still producing to this level, right? It's kind of the Allen Robinson argument, where it's like, you look at the quarterbacks and Terry McLaurin just continues to get the job done. And we have seen that slowly take a tumble down here, especially over the back half of the season. So with Terry McLaurin, I think that we need the quarterback upgrade here this offseason. Washington definitely needs to do something to upgrade that position, because Taylor Heinicke is just not it as far as being able to deliver the top tier production for Terry McLaurin. An extremely talented wide receiver, someone that I'm still a believer in Dynasty, but not someone that I have as a top eight option anymore at the wide receiver position. He's now more in the mid-range wide receiver too, right around that like wide receiver 15 range, where there definitely are some younger guys that have worked their way up over Terry McLaurin, who I would prefer to have over him.
It's going to be fascinating this offseason, all the quarterback movement you're going to get, because it's not a stellar quarterback draft class like last year. It was like, oh my God, look at all these, you know, first round picks being in the top 15. But you're going to have all these retread guys, I feel like. You're going to see, like, Trubisky get another shot. You're going to see Gardner Minshew probably get a shot somewhere. Like, all these guys, Sam Darnold probably somewhere will get another shot. And I don't know where that's going to be. There's not an, it's like musical chairs, but I feel like, you know, there's a lot of chairs, but I don't think there's any music. Like, I'm a little worried about these guys and how it's going to all work out. McLaurin's one of them, because I don't know where Washington is going to go for that quarterback. It's a great point, Yates. All right, Travis, let's go back to you for your number eight player here. Who is number eight on your list of dynasty fallers heading into the 2022 season?
Again, I'm going to probably disappoint some people with this one, but Elijah Mitchell, because and for me, I think when I think of dynasty fallers, I think of guys that are probably going to fall when people actually really take a good look and think about all of the factors involved. And it's just not yet. So I'd rather get ahead of that first. So he was, you know, late round running back pick. It's a great story. And if you had him on your team, you're thankful that you spent your, you know, your budget, whatever your waiver priority early on in the year. Congratulations, you had some great numbers a few weeks. But for the most part, Elijah Mitchell was actually really spotty in terms of his efficiency and his usage in the passing game. Like, how many targets do you think, like per game? I'm not supposed to be the one asking the questions.
No, I love
that. That's just how I roll. So, how many targets do you think, like per game, Mitchell's had this year?
Two.
I was about to say two.
Nailed it. That's right on the like two targets per game.
That's why we're fantasy pros, Travis.
Exactly.
That's
you guys are the pros. I don't even need to ask the questions. What am I doing here?
Stumble into these names. I mean, come on. Yes.
But seriously, two targets a game. In four games, he actually had zero targets. Mm-hmm. Randomly, they decided, hey, we'll just dump it off here a few times. But he's incredibly inefficient in that regard, and he was not a good receiver even in college. So I don't know. I think long term, we love these young running backs, but he's already ranked as like a round two, round three kind of guy. And every single year in Dynasty, we always do that just because we get to a certain point in our running back ranking. Somehow we go like, I don't know,
right.
Elijah Mitchell. And we think, let's just go right here. And I would much rather have every wide receiver, if I was in a startup draft or in a trade, like trade market situation, every wide receiver that's valued around the same spot, I'd rather go with them.
And it feels reminiscent of his dad's work with the Broncos, right? You just plug somebody into the system, and that's who that guy is. If it's Reuben Jones, if it's Travis Henry, it doesn't matter. But it's kind of what I feel like when it, we've gone through Hasty and Wilson and Jerick McKinnon, and
Get into that, man.
Right. I mean, we've gone through so many of these guys, and not all of them have been useful, but I mean, they're just plug and plays in the 49er offense. When it comes to your next guy on your list, Yates, who is your number nine guy here on your number eight, right? Because yours are you just threw a bunch of names at me with no apparent order. So I'm just going to stand back and let you do it.
Number eight here. This is someone that going into free agency last year, I was extremely excited about to see where he landed, because I thought that if he landed in a spot like Miami, we could be talking about Aaron Jones as a top five dynasty running back. But he ended up re-signing here in Green Bay with A.J. Dillon here in town. And towards the beginning of the season, we saw Aaron Jones still be the predominant guy, still putting up dominant fantasy numbers. And then over the back half of the season, we've seen A.J. Dillon start to take a more prominent role in this offense. And this has really turned into a 1A, 1B situation. So Aaron Jones went from being someone that we thought was a top 10 lock as far as dynasty running backs, and now has just taken a bit of a tumble where we don't know if we can even trust Aaron Jones in our starting lineups week in and week out. He's still got to be someone that is producing ridiculous touchdown efficiency to be able to sustain fantasy value. So moving forward into 2022, I'm going to be really interested to see the market value on Aaron Jones and how people perceive him, because it's going to be all over the place. There are going to be people who are still believers. He still is an extremely talented running back. But as far as being that top 10 guy that we thought he could be or thought that he was, I just don't think that's the case anymore.
Speaking of exciting things for 2022, let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about TickPick, the original no-fee ticket site, and they're teaming up with Zip, the buy now, pay later service provider, to give away five huge season ticket packages for the 2022 season. They have a drawing every single month from now and through February, and each package is valued at $3,000 for, again, the 2022 NFL season. And TickPick is a very cool place. I know a lot of people, they don't like the service fees when you buy tickets. I just took my kids to wrestling at the Garden, and guess what? I had to pay for basically a whole extra ticket just from fees, right? That's how much it costs. It's crazy what's out there. And TickPick is trying to destroy that with Zip. So head over to tickpick.com/pros. Again, that's TickPick.com/pros. And check out Zip. What's great about Zip is, like I said, you pay now, and then you buy now, and then you pay later. So basically what you've got is a system where you pay in installments for your tickets over time, and then just like that, they're with you. And if you get involved with it now, you have an opportunity to enter into that 2022 season ticket giveaway that they're running now. So it is something to really get involved in. So once again, head over to tickpick.com/pros to get involved with that today. And also maybe you can get some tickets for yourself for the playoff games upcoming in the NFL, if NFL football is happening in your neck of the woods in January this year. All right, boys, let's continue on our list here of Dynasty Fallers, and let's go to the next one on Travis's list. Number seven, who is it, Travis?
Number seven, I'm going to tick some more people off, because why not? So Keenan Allen, Chargers wide receiver. Of course, he's been a star stud for a very long time, been a wide receiver one for a very long time, and this is another player that I'm going to move before people realize that he's going to be 30 in April. and that players start to lose a step, even at the wide receiver position. The greatest at the wide receiver position typically hold out a little bit longer, but we're seeing it even for, you know, Julio Jones, and we've already mm-hmm. seen it for AJ Green and all these guys that were starters and just every week, like, confident studs until they weren't. And Keenan Allen, actually, if you look at his contract situation, he basically has 2022. And then after that point, the Chargers can cut bait for like almost nothing. Like, there's almost no penalty to move off of him. Mike Williams, by the way, contract year. So they have to decide, hey, Mike Williams has emerged and become the most efficient weapon for us, even more so than Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen has been amazing and has posted like 4 wide receiver 1 weeks in like the last 7. It's all great for fantasy football for right now. But I always look at the average draft position and rankings and just see, like, okay, who's older and just sticking around because, well, we think he's going to do that for 2 more years, maybe, if we're lucky. And then I move off of those players, and as soon as people see that 3 in front of the age, they start moving off of him anyway in Dynasty. So right now is the time to move off of Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I wonder if you could buy him low if you're a win now team in Dynasty, though, too, because of all
you
that.
You could. Oh, absolutely.
Because I do think he's got a little more.
You have people like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have people like me.
Right. Exact people like you and people like me who want to just win now. But you're absolutely right. And this one hurts my soul because I love Keenan Allen, man. But you're right. The end is coming, and we've seen this. So he can't be fooled by the steady productivity. And the age is certainly something to keep in track. But look, if you're a win now team next year in 2022, maybe someone's looking to get out. A guy like Travis saying, hey, I see the future. But again, everything is all about the instance for your specific roster. Yates, how about you? Who's number 7 on your list?
I'm going to stay at the running back position. I will go with Clyde Edwards-Helaire here. And this is interesting because as we look at CEH, as far as someone from a 2-year perspective, he has been falling, right? When he was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in round 1, we elevated him. I mean, he was the number 1 overall pick in Dynasty rookie drafts over guys like Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, just because of what he could be in that offense. And now I don't know how I want to value him from a dynasty perspective, where we have guys like Darrell Williams, who has factored in. This has become more of a committee where Darrell Williams has become the goal line back in this offense. So CEH is no longer, I mean, I don't know if he ever really was that top 5 guy at the running back position, despite his age, despite his talent. I think that if he ended up in a spot where he could be used as a, you know, pure receiving back, I think that we, you know, put him in New England with Mac Jones, like in that James White role, I think he could be a smash fantasy football asset. But it's just not happening here in Kansas City with this split backfield now. And so moving forward, I don't know what the plan is for Kansas City. I don't think that they ever want to feature CEH. And so I think he's now in this territory of RB15, RB16, in that range somewhere where definitely not as optimistic as we were even to begin the season. There were still people that were definitely optimistic about CEH heading into this year. That is no longer the case. He's someone that, you know, you just plug into your lineup because he's going to bring you a safe floor. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I personally thought it was crazy when he got elevated to like top 6 overall and stuff. I thought it was absolutely nuts. And everyone kept doing it based on the old data we had about Andy Reid. Andy Reid never had Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback. Right. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, this is a different breed of quarterback. And Donovan McNabb was great. Don't get me wrong, but nobody's Mahomes, really. I mean, it's like we're talking about like a finite group here. All right, let's move on to number 6 on these Dynasty Fallers list. And I think you're going to break my heart with another wide receiver here, Travis.
Yeah, real quick, though, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the only one that we shared on our list, Kyle. Like, that was it. Like, out of the top 10, like, there's over 1,600 NFL players, right. And we had 10 of them. 10 of them. And we were like, yep, that Clyde guy.
Yep.
Nope, not that one. So I love that we're on the same page. And you guys remember when people were taking him over Jonathan Taylor?
Oh, yeah, it drove me crazy.
Oh, man. Drove me crazy. That's pretty rough. But I won't even really spend much time on him. But yeah, absolute just disappointment. Even in college, like we should have seen this coming. I had him as my like running back 5 or 6 because he had that one great year, and then he showed up at the combine and was one of the least athletic guys there. And he was like 5'0", and we thought, oh yeah, obviously the first running back taken in the NFL draft. Like nobody actually thought that. Like, nobody thought that was going to happen. When it did, we were like, okay, we should probably ignore this. But hey, you know, it happens. We live and learn. And then people end up on top 10 lists of why they, you know, why they shouldn't be in the conversation. Anyway, number 6, DeAndre Hopkins. So what happened? DeAndre Hopkins, man, what happened this year? Like, I'm sure like
soft tissue injuries.
Know. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, that's mainly it. And it stinks because he had like, you know, worse numbers than he's had in his, what, dating back to his college days. Like, mm-hmm. he's never had a season with this few targets per game, with this level of just, I don't know. It's not like he was inefficient when he was in. Like, RotoViz, we do this, like, fantasy points over expectation just to kind of look at who guys, you know, which guys are exceeding the expectation given their targets and their average depth of target and all this stuff. And he was actually ninth. So it's not like implying that his level of play has dropped off, but the opportunity has definitely dropped off. And if there are injuries that are going to continue and they're going to continue to distribute targets in the way that they were this year, man, I don't think that I'm going to go after a wide receiver that is, again, you know, on the wrong side of, you know, the prime of his career with a really, really early pick in startups. And I'm not going to value him that way in trades. And so I'm probably going to see what I can get. It's probably not the time to do it. I would probably wait until next year after he has that big one wide receiver one game. But I think he's going to drop. And so I'm going to wait for one more peak moment and try to move off of Hawkins.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think in startups especially, that's going to be a fascinating one, because I think people will give him a pass because of the soft tissue injuries and say, okay. But again, that could just be a precursor to more of those injuries coming down the road, a la Julio Jones and some other guys, great wide receivers. Every great player has an expiration date, unfortunately. It's just the nature of the beast. Number six on your list, Kyle Gates, who is it?
I'll go back to the tight end position here. I will go with Noah Fant. This is someone who, coming into the year, I was a little bit skeptical on, was saying that with how crowded this offense is, we need to be very careful on how we value Noah Fant. But he was still being ranked as a top eight, top six dynasty option because of his youth, because of his talent, his ability. We know that he's an incredibly athletic option. But when you have Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, I mean, you had KJ Hamler at the beginning of the year, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, all these other receiving options in this offense, and then you put Teddy Bridgewater as the starting quarterback, there was only one way that this could go. And so Noah Fant had some success at the beginning of the season because you did have Jerry Jeudy out of the lineup and you had KJ Hamler out. Like, the target share opened up slightly, but here over the past few weeks, we've seen that, I mean, Noah Fant hasn't posted more than 10 half PPR points all the way since week six this year. So he's someone that you're playing because he, you know, can provide a decent floor. And maybe heading into 2022, if they upgrade that quarterback position, we could see the touchdown equity increase for Noah Fant. The opportunity, you know, his stock could increase eventually. But this is someone that I think everyone kind of came to the same realization of what I was talking about at the beginning of the year, that with so many mouths to feed in this offense, there's just no way for sustained fantasy success for Noah Fant.
Yeah, I also don't like the long-term contracts of Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton.
Right, that doesn't help. No offense.
That was
right.
Something that was a big red flag in dynasty leagues to me. I was like, nope, that's not good at all. All right, let's move down the list here to number five. We're now in the top five, guys. Get excited, everybody. Or maybe don't get excited, depending on what Travis
Wrong
says
list.
About this next
right.
guy. Yeah, well, get excited for dealing guys, you know, while they still have value. I don't know. Let's see. Travis, who's next for you?
So Kadarius Toney was not a good wide receiver prospect coming in. And I was the ultimate reach among all reaches ever at the wide receiver position in the NFL draft. And Giants, congratulations. You wasted another first round pick. So he's done okay with in terms of like his target load this year. Like, he's had a couple games, even in 2 weeks ago or something, he had 9 targets. And what did he do with that again? Less than 50 receiving yards on like 10 targets. Mm-hmm. Good work, buddy.
Fairness, it's not like the quarterback play has been great.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, dude, like he's supposed
to be.
It's
a bad combination, is what I'm saying.
He's supposed to be this yak monster, this do it all like freak. And he had that one game early in the year where he didn't look completely incompetent at the position. And so people are going to ride that probably. And so if he's ranked highly for anyone in your league, and you somehow accidentally have him on your roster, I'm going to be moving off of him. I have one share of him anywhere because of a really weird situation where we have like 150 players on our team. Don't ask. But
you can't say that and then say don't ask.
It's a weird league.
I won't.
I'll
respect you because you're our guest.
It's full IDP and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Okay, well,
anyway.
I got that too. I'm in a Dynasty League IDP with 32 teams, so I get it. I hear you.
But he had one of the worst profiles ever, and he's ranked outside the top 200 wide receivers in the league in fantasy points over expectation per game. Just completely whiffing. So until he actually figures out how to play the position, which he actually didn't play before college, like really. I mean, he was a quarterback and then converted to utility player and then finally figured out wide receiver maybe in his final season. But, you know, he's He's in that Mecole Hardman category. Like, he converted. He was a crazy athlete. He's fun, but he's never going to be a guy that you should start.
Well, that I agree. I think that's the problem is, you know, it takes a really great creative mind to use a talent like that. And the
Giants got stuck with Jason Garrett.
Right, you got stuck with Jason Garrett and Joe Judge, and that's not a good combination. So we'll see what the Giants do in the offseason, but you're 100% right. It's been disappointing for sure. Yates, let's crack through your top five. Who's number five?
Yeah, I'll stick with Denver. It's a lot of the same reasons, and it's Jerry Jeudy here. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver one, and coming out in 2020, he was going at the number one overall spot in some drafts there. In that same draft with CEH, we saw that some people were taking Jeudy there rather than the running backs. And so with Jeudy, I think that this is a situation where it's definitely not the talent. We have zero questions about the talent, the route running ability. It's all still there for Jeudy. However, it's the situation that he's in. And when with how crowded of an offense this is, you talked about the contract extensions for Sutton, for Tim Patrick, nothing's changing moving forward. So unless we see them bring in Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, like do something at the quarterback position, it's going to be very difficult for Jerry Jeudy to ascend to, well, I mean, what we thought that he could be. He has zero receiving touchdowns on the year this year, guys. Like, he has just been a complete disappointment. So how can we not talk about him as a dynasty faller?
Is this an opportunity, though, to buy him because we think Denver's going to address that? Like, the chances of a Rodgers or a Wilson going to Denver, I think, are pretty decent. Does that make this the perfect time in January to throw that deal out there on the cheap for Jeudy and see what happens?
It really all depends on what you have to send away. Like, if you can send away a second round pick, sure, but I don't know if people are going to be willing to do that. And that's really, you're gambling on either Rodgers or Wilson ending up there, because what's the other alternatives? Jimmy Garoppolo, Mitchell Trubisky, like, or one of the guys in the upcoming rookie class, where that I don't know if they're going to be able to take advantage of how, you know, all the other receiving weapons. So yeah, it's one of the situations that I would love to see Jerry Jeudy somewhere else, but with this crowded of an offense, it's the same reasons with Noah Fant. It's just difficult to see him cracking that top 12 again at the dynasty wide receiver rankings.
All right, Travis, number four for you. Who is it?
Number four is James Robinson for me. I applaud his career and what he's done. He was a, you know, like, even out of high school, he's like a 5'9", 220 bowling ball of a monster. And he was actually a decent three-star recruit and decided, you know what, I'm just going to go stomp on some kids' faces at a lower level of play at Illinois State and, you know, just kill it. And that's what he did and got people's attention because he was just destroying people that shouldn't even be playing football. And so that was great. But he did go undrafted, but got you know, some attention from the Jags and had a great rookie season, having an okay follow-up to that. But once there's a competent coaching staff in place, I don't think Travis Etienne is going to stay off the field. Like, I don't think a competent coaching staff is going to be like, oh, yeah, let's put that guy as slot receiver. That makes sense. And so as all that nonsense that was going on in the offseason. But so, yeah, I think that great story. We've seen the peak. Let's move on. Most people aren't. People that have him on the roster are not, but we probably should. We've seen the best of James Robinson.
It's a great point, too. Don't confuse a good narrative with necessarily a good future. That's not always the same thing. Number four for you, Yates. Who is it on the Dynasty Fallers list?
It's actually James Robinson. It was the same same person here on my list. Okay. So yes, we did have CEH and James Robinson here. So with Robinson, you mentioned it. You laid it out perfectly. I think there's a few other things too. It's like you have so many things going up against James Robinson for him to continue sustaining fantasy success. You have Travis Etienne waiting in the wings for 2022. Obviously, you have the new coaching staff. What is that going to look like as far as their utilization of James Robinson? How do they want to use him? And then you have a, you know, I don't think it's been confirmed, but a torn Achilles. Like, that's what's being reported. So now he's got to work his way back from that. And yes, we just, you know, we're talking about Cam Akers working his way back from
that's
a torn Achilles.
It's a couple week injury.
So, you know, we have no idea what he's going to look like in the future. We've seen Marlon Mack come back from that as well and look okay. But this is James Robinson. And this type of injury, it's up to the individual as how they respond to it and how they come back from it. So are we ever going to see James Robinson look the same way? There's a ton going against Robinson at this point of his career where I don't think that you can sell him now. You know, the value is bottom, you know, that's worse. Exactly. So I don't think that you can sell him right now, but you definitely cannot view him as a rock solid start moving forward. There's a lot against him.
And he's going to be twice removed now in terms of coaching staffs that believed in him in the first place. So you had a Myers group come in, and there'll be another group coming in next year too, and that's always very difficult. They want to bring in their people or their scouts and their analysis. Let's crack the top three here. Travis, who are the top three? Let's start with number three here for you in terms of your dynasty followers for 2022.
You know, I almost kept this guy off the list just because, like, just out of respect for his mental health, you know? But Calvin Ridley, you know, it's not common that we see somebody step away from the game completely, retire early or whatever. But we have seen that in recent years. I mean, we just saw Simone Biles, like the best ever at what she does, just step away from the Olympics because of mental health issues. And I know people knocked her for that, but it's like, man, that's very real. And if you can't get past the mental blocks that are involved in whatever you're doing, that you have to do at the highest level among people who have ever done it. That's insane. Like, that's real. So Calvin Ridley, I know the assumption, I guess, of many is that, you know, he just needed some time, whatever's going on at home, he'll just step away and he'll be back next year. But guys, I don't know that that's a given. And so that sucks for him and for everyone involved. But, like, I just have to be real and go, you know, well, let's see. What's his targets per game were this? You know, he was doing great. He was like, you know, over 10 targets per game. Well, you know, but if he never comes back,
right?
That's a dynasty faller. And so that stinks.
Yeah. It's one thing to gamble on a player in that scenario. And redraft is another thing in dynasty, you know, much different commitment level, obviously. So it's a great point, and it's an unfortunate one to make. You're right. You're making it with a heavy heart, and I feel that.
Yeah,
I feel
exactly, that, man. Yeah.
All right. Who's your number three here, Yates?
I got a couple of quarterbacks here left on the list here. I'll go with one of them, Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill coming into the year was someone that we thought that we could view as a top 10 dynasty asset for the foreseeable future. We thought that we had, with his rushing ability, you know, he has a nose for the end zone as a runner. We thought that we had that. Plus, he's got Julio Jones. He's got A.J. Brown. This offense is going to – he's still got Derrick Henry. This offense is going to be great. And that just was not the case here. This year, the wheels really fell off. And we can attribute a lot of it to Derrick Henry being injured, you know, and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones all being out of the lineup.
The offense fell apart.
Absolutely. Like, we can attribute a lot. But even when they were all healthy for that brief moment of time, he still didn't look the same. He wasn't producing the top five numbers, the top 10 numbers that we thought. So Tannehill is one of the guys that I've got on a couple of dynasty rosters. And it's like, okay, like, I'll play him, you know, as a mid-range QB2, but I think there are better options. There are a lot of the younger guys that I would prefer to take shots with over Tannehill at this point, unless we see, heading into 2022, they really revamp this receiving core and give him some solid, you know, healthy options moving forward. Because even the depth going into the year was like, okay, you got A.J. Brown, you got Julio Jones, but what happens if these guys get injured? And that did happen. So we found out. If they can build up that depth again, then I think I might buy back in a little bit, but I've got to see it on the field before I start playing Tannehill again in fantasy.
All right.
Yeah. How many Titans wide receivers can you name?
I mean, you got like Chester Rogers, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, like, but
was Humphreys there too this year? No, I can't remember.
No, in Washington. Yeah. He's so it's like, it's really shallow there. It was going into the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good. Yeah. Not good. All right. Number two on the list of fallers, Travis, what's up? Who is the guy?
Oh, man, number two. Sorry, Giants fans. I'm not meaning to hate on you too much, but Daniel Jones, man, he was never a good idea. Again, terrible selection when it was made on draft night. Zero analytical reason to take a quarterback with his profile. His rushing production kind of boosted him and made him look less terrible, analytically speaking. And I'm on team both analytics and film, but I live in, because I'm a Roto-Viz guy. So I live in the analytics world. I build quarterback models and junk. So, you know, and so Daniel Jones had like a 42nd percentile pass efficiency mark at his peak. Like, he was bad at many things. And so for us to expect him to come in and just be this star, nope. And he hasn't been. And it's been worse this year. So bye. Like, let's move on. There are four other guys, at least, if not five, in this not even great quarterback class that would immediately be an upgrade over Daniel Jones. Goodbye.
Dan, Daniel Jones is going to get a second shot somewhere else. You watch next year, just like I talked about. This
absolutely.
Well, they've already committed to him for 2022. The Giants have already come out and said, like, he's our starting quarterback for 2022. Uh-huh.
Makes zero until that sense. Whole regime is gone on January 5th or whatever day we're at here.
I'm so sorry, New Jersey Giants.
You know what? The Giants are just a page one rewrite. I mean, the whole thing is just, you guys got to scrap it up and start over. You just do. All right, let's move to your number two, Yates. Who is the name?
So this was a guy that was billed as the best college football quarterback prospect coming out since Andrew Luck. And he has not been that. And again, we can look at Trevor Lawrence and say that so much of it is attributed to Urban Meyer and, you know, the state of the team around him. But it's we can't look at the film and say that Trevor Lawrence has been good. Like, he just hasn't. When was the last time he threw a touchdown pass? It was like week 8. That's just ridiculous that a starting
is
quarterback
it really?
In the NFL, it's been a long time for Trevor Lawrence since he threw a touchdown pass. So, I think Lawrence, he was one of the guys that we moved into the top 10 just based on his age, the way that he was built up coming out of college. And now there is a lot of Superflex rosters out there that don't even want Trevor Lawrence at this point because of how bad it's been this year. So moving forward, I think it will improve. But I can't do a dynasty followers list and not include Trevor Lawrence from how much he was hyped up and then now what the reality has been this year. So the rookie class has not been good. Travis talked about that at the beginning, but Trevor Lawrence is leading the charge there with it's been really, really bad.
I will buy Trevor Lawrence in every Superflex anybody wants to give him to me.
Absolutely.
Send him my way.
Same here.
Urban Meyer is a disaster. The pieces around were not good. The offensive line, you saw in the preseason, that was my biggest worry. Like, is Trevor Lawrence going to make it out of the season alive? I started to get the hives for Andrew Luck in the bad way. Remember, we keep comparing to Andrew Luck. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be comparing to Andrew Luck. Like, he's going to be on his back, 12 right. times a game. And that was my big concern. I hope that whoever they bring in next can kind of fix some of these issues. And I don't think they're impossible fixes. They're going to have high draft picks. They're going to have plenty of cap space to work with. So I understand. You definitely got to put him on the fall list. But to me, he's a faller that I buy because I still think he is that generational quarterback prospect.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna hang the evil of Ricky Bobby on him of that is Urban Meyer. Because this was just it was a no-win situation for him.
Yeah, and there's differences here in Dynasty where we talk about guys that are fallers and they're ones that you just say get out because their stock
the
is
going to... Right, the fall buys and the fall sells.
Right, exactly.
Right, exactly.
So I think Lawrence, for last year, you had to send away to get that number one overall rookie pick in Superflex Leagues, you had to send away multiple first-round picks and proven assets to be able to get him. Now, you can send away maybe a first-round pick to get Trevor Lawrence and you get a quarterback who's producing in some way, shape, or form included in that and you can get Trevor Lawrence. So yeah, it's just it's crazy how far we've come as far as the hype versus where the reality is now.
I'm sending those trades now.
It really is. I've already said my number one, so I won't even talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire again. But man, Trevor Lawrence, 3 years ago, we were having conversations. I play in Devy fantasy football leagues. I back in 2018, I did some stuff, fantasy pros for Devy stuff. And back then, even, we were talking about Trevor Lawrence is like a true freshman being like the best quarterback of all time. He and Justin Fields neck and neck for like 3 straight years. Like, we knew if you played Superflex Dynasty Leagues, you could just etch out in stone Trevor Lawrence's name at the top of draft boards. And so that there was a 3-4 year runway of hype for this guy. Yep. So it's really hard to do anything and live up to those expectations. Right. And then to fall so flat, I get it. Like, I'm buying low. But yeah, you can't.
Sure. He's a faller. You buy low. Gates put it perfectly.
He's got to be the number one faller. Yeah. Like, I don't even know how he didn't make my list. Cause
because you still believe that's why. Because you still. Know what? Gates put it perfectly. There's fallers that you buy and fallers that you sell. This is a faller you buy. But there's no way the stock hasn't come down. Of course it has. Look at what's happened. Week 8. Is that true? Is that really
I'll look it up. I'll look it up. But yeah, it's somewhere around there.
All right. I want to recap Travis's list real quick. It started with another Travis Kelce at 10, Chase Claypool at 9, Elijah Mitchell at 8, Keenan Allen at 7, DeAndre Hopkins at 6, Kadarius Toney at 5, James Robinson at 4, Calvin Ridley at 3, Daniel Jones at 2, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as you said, Travis, was your one. Anything else to add about Helaire that Yates did not mention?
No, just an absolute disappointment. I think I said something around the same time Yates did. But fun fact, it hurt me to actually put Travis Kelce on the list because my wife's name is actually Kelce.
Oh, so wow. And Travis, your name is Travis.
Kelce.
There you
yeah,
go.
It's like, God. Yeah, we need matching jerseys or something. But yeah, that hurt to put him on there. But
that's love right there. Get the matching jerseys. Yeah. There you go. Not that you can go out anywhere because you got a 4-week-old. So you're not going anywhere except your couch if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. All right. Some of the names on Yates' list, the quarterbacks were Trevor Lawrence and Ryan Tannehill. The running backs, Aaron Jones, James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Don't give away my number one, dude.
I'm not.
Don't,
relax, okay. sweetheart. Right. I got you. I know what you said and what you didn't. I listened to you, baby. Jerry Jeudy in the wide receiver class here for him. Terry McLaurin, the tight ends were Noah Fant and Jonnu Smith. But There's one more guy who is number one on your dynasty fallers for 2022.
Yeah, you talked about it with the dynasty buys versus the dynasty sell, like the fallers, the faller sells and the faller buys. For me, I am talking about Allen Robinson here as a faller 100%, but I am 100% going out there and buying Allen Robinson. Mm. It has just been absolutely abysmal here for Robinson this year in Chicago. And it's really interesting where you listen to people who are a lot smarter than me break down film, and they look at Chicago's offense here and Matt Nagy's offense, and they go, I don't even know what this offense is. Like, there's no way it's to be weird. Able to discern what the overall scheme is here. It is just a mishmash of things. They're trying to piece it together as they go, and it is just, it's time for Nagy to be gone in Chicago. So we're going to see potentially a complete overhaul here and rebuilding things with Justin Fields. Now, Allen Robinson playing on the franchise tag this year, there's the possibility that he is back in Chicago this next year, and I think even if that is the case, it's going to be an upgrade because Matt Nagy is gone. We're going to have a competent scheme in place here built around Justin Fields. But then there's a potential that he leaves in free agency. And Allen Robinson, I talked about it with Terry McLaurin, saying that he's been playing with, I mean, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, like Mitchell Trubisky. He's been playing with just this terrible list of quarterbacks over his career. I think he wants to go into free agency, not get paid because he's made significant money up to this point of his career, but to be able to put up numbers and to be able to play with competent quarterbacks. So I think this is going to be a situation where if he does hit free agency, he might not take the highest offer out there on the table, but he might go to a spot where it is just fantastic for fantasy football because of the quarterback play in which he's going to be tied to. Robinson is still a fantastic talent at the wide receiver position. He just doesn't want to be here in Chicago, and I don't blame him. So this is a situation where I am going out and I am buying Allen Robinson for cheap. Obviously it depends on what the price tag is for that in your dynasty league, but I think you can get Robinson for next to nothing at this point, and I'm doing that because of what the situation could be in 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think Allen Robinson's a guy who's probably dirt cheap right now, and it's not going to cost you anything to find out. So there you have it. Those are the dynasty fallers, for the 2022 season, as we're looking ahead already, because it's never too early to have these conversations, and it's a great time to always have a conversation with Travis May. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at @FF_TravisM. Check out all his work at RotoViz and College to Canton. Anything else you got going on right now, Travis, you want to plug? It's all yours, baby.
Those are the main things. I've actually been doing some contributing at Solid Verbal too. The Solid Verbal podcast, they have a few different websites and Discord, a whole bunch of other stuff. They've been growing. And so mostly college football stuff. But if you want to talk anything prospects, I've already got my top 100 rookies series done for RotoViz, including like 40 individual defensive players because I am that nerd. So always down to talk some future NFL stars on top of the current ones. But thank you just so much for having me on to get me away from
changing diaper time away, yeah. A little feeding time.
You probably did. Yeah. You probably saved me from at least one diaper and probably at least one feeding, maybe. But I'll get back to it. But it's been amazing.
You better
Being a dad is just, it's just awesome. But
it is, but you could take an occasional changing off. That's okay. Yes. Once in a while you take one off. As a guy who did all of them pretty much, I can tell you, taking one off is a nice thing. So I'm glad I could give you that. And also I appreciate your nerdism because you dropped a whole lot of knowledge here today on the pod. Great stuff, guys. As always, I want to thank our sponsor of today's show. That's tickpick.com/pros. Again, head over to tickpick. That's tickpick.com/pros, where you can win chances. Again, five of them for the season ticket packages for the 2022 NFL season. Also, don't forget about Kyle Yates and the Dynasty Football Podcast that's going on right now. We're back to looking ahead already. Football never sleeps here, Fantasy Pros, just like in real life. So go check that out and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, go over to Apple Podcasts and drop a 5-star review of the show about how your season's gone and how much better your life is for spending time with me and all of my friends here at the Fantasy Pros. So don't forget about Prize Picks either. Prize Picks, use the promo code PROS to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, the promo code is PROS, and Prize Picks is the game, one of the best ways to play daily fantasy. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Travis May and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.